We're recording. You can go ahead, Keith.
Prefer talk-ons. Bill, Josh, I'm back.
Welcome back.
Let me double check that this sounds okay. Welcome back, Keith.
Okay, is the sound okay?
Sounds great.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Probably should have done that beforehand.
But maybe it's something that we normally do.
We are really bad at opens.
No, yeah. We have a perfect open.
Our content is what people are here for.
That's true.
That's right. Listen to our voices and reap all the college fantasy knowledge they can.
We have a special guest in the studio today as well.
Yes.
Josh, you want to introduce?
My dog, Loki, came into the office to hang out today.
Very well behaved.
He is very well behaved. He's here, probably going to make a couple picks for us.
Yeah.
Towards the end, because he won't be here Friday when we do our preview show.
The one thing that freaks me out just a little bit about your dog, though, is that he is neutered.
Why does that freak you out?
Except they left.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. The sack.
Yep. True.
That's literally the weirdest thing.
You are not the first person to say that either.
No, I know, but I wanted everyone to know. Loki is a very beautiful dog, but when you
that's why he's got the jersey on.
Look at his rear. There's actual surprise there.
Well, we do have some surprise content for today. We're talking dog genitalia, so I'm sure everyone wanted to tune in for that one.
I just thought it was important that everybody should know.
It goes hand in hand with college fantasy football, if
Absolutely.
You ask me.
Well, with the way Georgia played, I actually think it's probably a perfect segue into
that was good
this past week of pure nonsense. Like, so many things to get into, to talk about, but Georgia, what did you do to yourself? Honestly, against a 2-3,
yeah. Jake Fromm looked a lot like Jake Fromm in that game.
Yeah, he did.
He frommed.
He frommed.
He definitely frommed. Not as disappointing as the entire Texas team was to me personally, but
full disclosure. That. My sister got married last weekend. The nerve of her on a fall Saturday, just saying. So
No, not just any fall Saturday, but Red River.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
So I got to watch bits and pieces.
Top 25 matchups.
Yeah. I got to watch bits and pieces of Red River. I heard more of the Georgia game than I watched because we had it on YouTube TV in our suits as we were taking photos, so we heard the audio. Other than that, then I didn't watch any in the night slate. So how did Texas actually look? I saw they only lost by 7.
It was just – and perhaps we've been spoiled for the past couple of years that just Red River had just become this absolute monster shootout.
Because last year's Red River was literally one of the games of the season.
Yes. And
3 touchdown comeback in the fourth quarter.
And honestly, bonkers. Texas had started looking better. Sam Ellinger was stepping into his own, so it was like, sweet. This is going to be another
– It was a
shootout.
Lamb show is what it was.
That's a good way to put it.
But it was just – so disappointing.
It wasn't that entertaining
at all. It looked somehow lesser.
It was 10-3 at halftime. Was that
yeah,
the score?
I think so.
That's not what you want to see in a Big 12 game. You tune in a Big 12 to watch teams.
Yeah, exactly.
Score.
I want it 10-3 5 minutes in.
Yeah.
And they built it up all week. And I remember watching it with Maddie and just
questioning,
like, why
do you think now that the Big 12 has a conference championship game, even though they don't have divisions, do you think that these two teams know, like, hey, we're going to see each other again in the conference championship. Let's not do anything too crazy. Therefore, we kind of saw a more vanilla game.
No, I would not say that because Texas also has a propensity to stumble at very wrong times. So there's never a guarantee.
Texas stumble?
I think for Texas,
Keith, that's very unlike them.
Texas needed to beat Oklahoma twice to get into the playoff.
Yeah.
So they didn't have a choice. They had to go all out. They had to beat Oklahoma this time, and when they play in the Big 12 championship.
That's a good point.
Right. So even it just
– this bloody chair, man. I cannot lean back more than like 2 degrees.
It's okay. It's the same thing with this. I don't know what Jesse does with these chairs, but they're loud.
They're extremely loud.
Shout out Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Yes. Thank you, Jesse.
My LB broadcaster of the year.
According to Ballpark Digest, and he's letting us use his booth.
It's huge. Oh, we're sitting in the chairs of glory right now. It's awesome.
Well, back to Josh mentioned it was the CD Lamb show. We, for like 3 weeks in a row, have now said that Gumby is on the ropes, but CD Lamb is the only player still contributing for him, and he is 6-1 and in second place now, right behind the old Chubb Hub.
At some
point. The other shoe has to drop for Gumby.
At some point.
He can't keep limping to the finish line. He's gotten 2 red shirts and a dude suspended for PEDs for the year.
I mean,
And he's still in first.
The incredible thing was it was four touchdowns, 171 yards.
And there are also some screen caps on Twitter. He was like the only Oklahoma player in the screen, and he was surrounded by four Texas defenders. And it'd be a screenshot and said CeeDee Lamb scored on this play.
Somehow. I saw that. That was
yeah. And not only that, dude, Jake was the highest score last week. CeeDee Lamb got him 40 points.
Yeah.
Literally his worst player got him 15. Josh, and that was his kicker.
How did your team
I didn't win again. I'm struggling right now.
They didn't? Who are you playing?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Just some fancy superior team.
But I did a bye week. My bye week McGinnon, Oklahoma State was on bye, so I was missing Talon Walls and Spencer Saunders, which was big. It was pretty close for most of the game up until that night slate.
Yeah, well, I mean, for those who didn't know, Josh and I faced off against last week, and I told him multiple times at the bar, there's no possible way he could beat me.
I didn't think there would be.
And he kept trying to argue that, well, we're pretty close, and said, well, no, just wait for the night to come. And, boy, did the night come.
Well, JoJo Ward got Josh 0 points. If JoJo Ward had a half-decent day, he would have been at least within striking distance.
Right.
But that was not the case. He also had Rodrigo Blankenship, who missed a couple field goals.
Rather big one.
And
towards the end there.
What are you going to do now with Jacob Breland out for the year?
I just did it. Like while you were talking, I dropped him.
Found someone else.
I picked up Kyle Pitts from Florida.
Okay. That's a tough one because he was like –
he was good. He was a really good receiver.
He was like the number one tight end in
the country. We talked about how tight ends don't really matter, but he mattered for me. He put up points. Mm-hmm. He was, the Oregon's leading receiver, and now he's done for the year. So
yeah, it was a tough week for your team there, Josh, for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. The only thing that's making me nervous right now is Jamie Newman did leave with a shoulder injury.
He did.
Ooh.
And he's been one of my top contributing
throw QBs. Shoulders?
I believe so.
Oh, boy.
They're listing him as day-to-day, but with QBs, you're facing off against Florida State. Are you really going to try to rush him back?
It's a big game. Like this, they're trying to play.
I mean, they're trying to get this, cute, but
they're trying to play for the ACC championship. They won't because they still have to play Clemson.
Are they in the same division as Clemson?
Yeah.
So they're not going to play.
So they're not going to play in the conference championship. But right now, they're still in contention. So
yeah,
they're going to try to get Jamie Newman to play.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a tough line to walk as the head coach. Like you obviously need your best guy, but at the same time, you don't want to rush him back and then screw the entire season.
Yeah. I mean, luckily he plays at 7:30, so I have time to
switch it out if you need to
figure it out. But
I'm going to pick up Wake's backup.
I don't know. Well, also congratulations LSU.
Took it to Florida
and looked
damn good,
really
doing
good
it.
Doing it.
And they're going to end the season 11-1 and have nothing to show for it.
I saw a mock draft today. Number one pick next year in the 2020 draft. Joe Burrow.
Not going to happen.
No.
I mean, Joe Burrow has played his way into a first-round pick, but Tua's going to be the first overall no matter what. It's either Tua or Chase Young, depending on which terrible NFL team ends up with the first pick. Just saying.
Well, if the refs have their way, it's going to be the Lions, so.
The Lions already have two wins, though. The Bengals aren't going to have any.
No, that's true.
Or the Dolphins.
That's true.
Tank for Tua.
Tank for Tua, There's a reason that's a thing. My team did okay. However, Sparty Matt just continues to win without setting his bloody roster.
Yeah.
He started a hurt quarterback in his flex and still beat me by 30 points. And my team, like I said, did okay. I had Rashad Bateman only get me a half a point. Mm-hmm. And here's where I blame my sister because I picked up Indiana's WAP Filior, knowing they're playing Rutgers and he was going to have a big day. Sure enough, he had a big day, but I forgot to switch it because I was already doing wedding stuff. Thanks a lot. And then, so that would have brought me within like 15 points and not much else I can do from there. But, oh well. Tyler Huntley, great pickup off the waiver wire.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I just, Omar Bayless has been the best player for my team.
I'm on a 3-game losing streak. It's really, really frustrating. Because I was up there in the playoffs. Now we don't have room for error, so.
As of right now.
That's got to be rough.
Keith has taken first spot overall. God rest our souls.
As things progress naturally, of course my team's going to be the number one spot.
Yeah. Gumby second, Chubb Hub third. I am hanging on to fourth by a thread. I'd really needed to beat Sparty Matt this week. And I'm also playing Bree this week, who sits in sixth. So I need to beat Bree to get a little bit of space for the playoff hunt.
It's going
to
be a fight, too.
It's going to be a
real dog fight. Knockdown, drag out fight.
Thankfully, I don't have anybody on bye weeks, and I have pretty favorable matchups. So I'm hoping for the best, but we'll talk about that in the preview show.
How crazy is the top 25 right now?
I love, there are like five or six G5 teams in the top 25. It makes me so happy.
Like, just, could you even have predicted that, like, 1 through 7? The only teams that are left that are undefeated. So, Alabama, yep. LSU.
I wouldn't think LSU would ever jump to 2.
How did LSU jump to 2? I won't know. Clemson is 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State, 4th. Oklahoma, 5th. Wisconsin, 6th. Penn State, 7th. Notre Dame, 8th.
It's crazy.
Like, and just want to give a big up yours to anybody who thinks that SEC football is superior, because I've seen a lot of Big Ten up there.
Well, yeah, but do you really think Wisconsin or Penn State are going to beat Alabama or LSU?
No, but nobody else in the SEC is going to.
Fair point.
So, I mean, like, kind of look around and be like,
there's... Like I said earlier, LSU could go 11-1.
I mean,
with that one loss being to Alabama, and then they're out of the playoff.
Minnesota's 20th.
Yeah, but
Minnesota hasn't played anybody.
They're a paper tiger. They took okay teams to overtime. They beat up on Nebraska last week. Big deal.
Baylor's 18th again.
How about Baylor? They're looking good. Like,
congratulations, Baylor. That's awesome.
No, they won. They beat Texas Tech.
They beat Texas Tech.
They beat Texas Tech
in overtime.
I'm thinking of Arizona State, who they play. That's Pac-12. Arizona State beat.
Let's check. Oh, no, they beat Washington State this week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because our friend Cougar Zach was there and extremely intoxicated.
Yeah.
Arizona State is 5-1. Herm Edwards, baby.
I know. I don't understand. I mean, I get it. You played Oklahoma, but you looked terrible. Texas is still 15th at 4-2.
I know.
That's just like, that's a Texas bias right there.
The Texas brand.
They could have 3 losses and still be in the top 25.
We'll take A&M still got some votes after being 4-3 or 4-2, whatever they are.
They got beat by LSU and got beat by Oklahoma. But other than that, they've only played LA Tech, Rice, OK State, and West Virginia.
Like, and they didn't
I'm pretty sure.
Didn't look all that convincing against West Virginia.
And Iowa's 4-2 looks a hell of a lot better than Texas's 4-2.
Iowa just plays such an ugly brand of football.
So what if it's ugly?
Yeah. I don't know. Texas Iowa would be a game I would love to see, though, to be honest.
That would be great.
I would love to see that.
I don't know.
But the way both teams are headed, we could see it.
Very well could get that in the
New Year's Day Bowl.
Yeah, and can we finally revisit this? Southern Methodist.
Still undefeated.
They have to be the favorites now.
I would think so.
For
the Power Five?
There's just
not Power Five?
Nobody else I see, and their schedule remaining. So they're playing Temple this coming week. Then they play Houston, Memphis.
Temple could be an upset alert because Temple just beat Memphis last week. I know there's some iffy
talking
officiating
about paper
at the end. But
paper Tigers.
Because they're little Tigers.
Then they play Memphis, East Carolina, Navy, and Tulane.
Yeah, they really could run the table.
I think they are going to run the table because Houston is now listless. Temple could be a sneaky upset. Maybe.
I think it's going to be.
It could be a weird game.
The winner of the Memphis SMU game will represent the non-Power Five.
They still got to beat UCF in the championship game, though. And we're still forgetting about Boise State, who's just trucking everybody right now in the Mountain West. And they're what, 14th or 15th in the top 25?
Boise State, they are 6-0, and I just click off the screen. So let's go to rankings again, and they 14th. Are 14th. That's correct.
Did you just – oh, you're looking it up?
Yeah, well, I have Hawaii schedule.
You just said that out of the blue, I thought.
No, I have Hawaii schedule pulled up, and they just happen to show up on that.
I think that Boise State is the class of the G5, and if anyone's going to get into a New Year's – Day Bowl.
New York.
I think we talked about this, but I feel like Boise could play in the Pac-12 and contend.
For sure.
anybody can play the Pac-12 and contend.
It's true.
It's just that's the way of things. It's the way of the Pac-12 in its current state.
And I think we're going to learn a lot about the Pac-12 this weekend when Washington plays Oregon.
Yeah, it'll be, I don't know, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, sure will. It's a pretty fun week.
Great week.
All things considered.
And let's talk about some great players. So, again, shout out to CFF Champs. Thank you for mysteriously sending me. I don't know how, documents. Again, this got into my hands, but I just came in to work today, even though I'm on vacation, and they were just in my hands. So thank you, CFF Champs. Go to cffchamps.com for their weekly rankings. They do a very good job. Please donate. Anyway, no big surprise, but Jalen Hurts, Oklahoma, 16 for 28, 235 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 131 yards on the ground, and a rushing touchdown. I mean,
all against DBU, too. Crazy. Yeah.
Nathan Rourke, 19 for 31, 258 yards, 2 passing touchdowns, and 1 rushing touchdown for 80 yards.
The week I drop him.
I didn't want to say anything, but yeah, they did play NIU. Jaden Daniels out of Arizona State, swinging wildly, 26 for 36 with 363 yards passing and 3 touchdowns in the air, 1 on the ground again. Jack Abraham, what?
He's a true freshman, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Jack Abraham, Southern Miss, 29 for 36, 421 yards, 3 passing touchdowns, negative 10 rushing yards, but 1 rushing touchdown.
Okay. That's a Reggie Bush stat line right there.
John Reese Plumlee from Ole Miss, 8 for 17, 103 yards, 2 passing touchdowns, but 143 yards on the ground with 2 rushing touchdowns.
Damn.
What, I thought what's we were happening
done,
there?
I thought we were done with these Plumlee brothers.
I know, right? And then Cole McDonald and Anthony Gordon. I mean, Anthony Gordon had 466 yards. Cole had 251 yards. Both had 3 passing touchdowns. Biggest disappointments. Khalil Tate from Arizona.
I'm sure you love that one, Keith.
4 sacks, negative 28 rushing yards, 1 interception, 1 passing touchdown, 13 for 25.
The sacks aren't all his fault necessarily, though.
No, but
again, you don't
they know are his fault just... if you're a running quarterback.
I mean,
if literally your entire brand is based off how you can also utilize your legs, then yes, sacks are absolutely your fault.
I'm going to disagree with you on that one. The offensive line could be not giving him any help. I haven't watched Arizona in a while, though, so I don't know for sure.
Caleb Evans from UL Monroe, 18 for 33, 225 yards, and 1 interception. Brock Purdy, Iowa State, 19 for 30, 229 yards, 1 interception, 3 sacks, negative 15 yards, 2 total touchdowns. Sean Clifford from Penn State.
Also on my team.
12 for 24. 117 yards, 1 passing touchdown, and 52 rushing yards.
Not going to lie, it's nice to hear all of Josh's team on this disappointment list and not my team.
Well, how about this next one? Sam Ellinger, 26 for 38, 210 yards, no passing touchdowns, 9 sacks.
Is Oklahoma the new DBU?
He had 23 rushing attempts for a total of negative 9 yards.
Ooh.
2 rushing touchdowns.
Come on, Big 12. You're not supposed to. Stop playing defense.
That's the only reason. That's the only reason he got double-digit points. Yeah, because that's just real poor right there. Anybody that surprised you out of that group? I mean, Kellen Mond had a great week too. 264 yards, 2 touchdowns.
It's good to see him back on the horse.
Yeah, I mean, just the regular guys. Shea Patterson, surprisingly though, 4 total touchdowns, 11 for 22, 194 yards.
11 for 22.
I mean. So, okay, moving on to running backs. Since both of you are feverishly looking up other stats. Sorry, I didn't go over injuries. Adrian Martinez had a big old DNP on the week. Mitchell Guadagni Dagny?
Gaudani.
Gaudani, thank you. From Toledo, left the game early. So did Hank Bachmeyer from Boise.
Yeah, which is big for Boise. I think that's the reason Toledo lost to Bowling Green,
right,
is solely up because of Gaudani.
That's a big MAC loss.
Yeah.
Western right back in it.
Yeah.
Mikhail Cunningham from Louisville left the game early, and so did Jamie Newman, aforementioned. Wake Forest left the game early.
In what could be one of the games of the year when we look back on it.
Right.
Holy points.
So for running backs, injuries include Jatarvius Whitlow from Auburn, out 4 to 6 weeks.
Oof.
Amari Davis, late scratch, got a big old DNP. And Raheem Blackshear from Butgers is out for the season.
That's a red shirt. That's one of Gumby's red shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's rough. So, top performers, Justin Henderson from La Tech, 11 attempts, 137 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, 1 receiving touchdown. Benny LeMay had 144 yards.
He had a day.
1 touchdown, but 90 receiving yards for another touchdown. So, he had a big old day. Anthony Jones from Florida International, 117 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, 1 receiving touchdown, so 4 total. Sir Roderick Thompson. Amazing name, by the way. Owned in 3% of leagues, if you're looking for a running back. 28 rushing attempts, 153 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, and 24 yards through the air. He did have 1 fumble, however, but still a pretty good day. Also, Breece Hall from Iowa State, 132 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 reception for 5 yards. Other than that, the only person I would say that was really surprising out of that bunch would be Bryson Carroll out of New Mexico. Owned in 0% of leagues, but had 193 rushing yards and 1 touchdown off of 23 attempts. So, all in all, pretty good day. The what?
Against your Chippewas.
I know. Well, It's not that difficult, I would say. As much as I do love my chips, it's not that bad. Kylan Hill from Mississippi State.
I played against 2 of these top performers this week.
Yeah. Had 11 attempts for a grand total of 13 rushing yards.
But he caught like 3 touchdowns, didn't he?
No.
No?
Kylan Hill.
Was he a disappointment?
Yes, this is a disappointment.
Oh.
And can you tell me who
played? Oh, never mind. I'm thinking of Lynn Bowden, who played against Mississippi State. That's who Spurdy Matt had.
Correct.
And who beat me.
Can you guess who Kylan Hill was playing there, Bill?
In our league?
No. The player.
Yeah.
Kylan Hill.
Right.
Who he had 11 rushing attempts for 13 yards. What right. defense was he playing?
Kentucky's. Right?
Tennessee's.
Oh, dude.
How on God's green earth do you do that against the Tennessee defense? I don't understand.
Oh, man.
Cam Akers from Florida State, 9 rushing attempts for 34 yards and 1 fumble. Anthony McFarland Jr. from Maryland, 4 attempts, 4 yards, and 18 receiving yards.
That's terrible.
Real bad. Trey Regis had 7 attempts for 24 yards. Darrington Evans, 22 attempts, 69 yards.
Nice.
Right? Against Louisiana. Elijah Mitchell had 13 attempts for 68 yards. Close. Charles Williams, 24 attempts, 69 yards.
Nice.
And 1 rushing touchdown against Vanderbilt's. And again, Michael Warren makes the list for another week. 17 attempts, 68 yards.
At the end of the season, we got to do a top disappointing team. I think he Derek King would be the headliners of the list. Derek King for different reasons.
I was going to say, can you really say Derek King? Because he got hurt. So
Derek King?
He didn't get hurt.
He just
signed a red shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was injury related.
I mean, that's what we were speculating because why would you just randomly shut it down?
Right. I thought I read somewhere that he had a
and
problem.
the other reason I would consider Derek King a disappointment was because he went 1-1 in the majority of drafts. So
right
when you put, I know we talked about draft capital and everything,
the draft capital
you
have to spend to get him was
like
insane.
When you're giving up the first overall pick and he only gives you four games on the year, that sucks.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So wide receivers really quickly. Brandon Arcanado from Washington State had a big DNP, and T. Higgins from Clemson left the game with an injury. Usual suspect. So Sage Surratt from Wake had 196 yards, three touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb, 171 yards, three touchdowns. Warren Jackson, Lindbaum Jr.
There it is.
Lindbaum Jr. actually had zero receptions for zero receiving yards and zero receiving touchdowns. However, he rushed 24 times for 196 yards and two rushing touchdowns. How dumb is that?
Damn it.
That's, amazing, but dumb. Aesop Winston Jr.
That's amazing, but dumb. Sums up my whole life.
118 yards, one touchdown. Quez Watkins, 198 yards, one touchdown off of only eight catches, which is pretty damn good. Usual suspects. But disappointments would be Rashad Bateman from Minnesota.
Yep.
One reception for negative 4 yards.
They played in a snowstorm. There was a reason I wanted to put him on my bench, but didn't get around to it. I said, it wouldn't have mattered in the long run. I'm just mad at myself.
Right. Wandell Robinson from Nebraska, two receptions, 10 yards. Michael Pittman Jr. from USC, four receptions, 29 yards. Jerry Jeudy, four receptions, 50 yards.
Yeah.
Here's another surprising one. Denzel Mims, three receptions for 65 yards. This is not a surprise. Daryl Stewart Jr. from MSU, five receptions for 59 yards and negative 5 yards on the ground.
Wisconsin defense was your top player this week, Keith. So you got to give Wisconsin some credit there.
Well, just the offensive scheme overall.
Yeah. Did you hear the hot water that D'Antoni was in?
No.
After the game?
No.
A reporter asked him, basically, how do you feel about not hiring a new offensive coordinator, and like, was the musical chairs working? And if not, what are you going to do about it? And he just replies, that's a dumbass question.
Well, he said, I don't think that this is a good time for this question. We're only halfway through the season. That's just a dumbass question, in my opinion.
I'm going to disagree with
no.
you on there.
Sorry, coach. That's
when you get blanked against Wisconsin.
Bad.
Yes.
You'd be bad.
Yeah. Especially when the bar literally could not be lower compared to last year. And this is the production.
Yeah.
And the schedule only gets tougher.
That's true.
Still got Penn State. Still got Michigan. Do have Rutgers coming up, so that's good.
Well.
Shout out to CFF champs for the disappointments and top performers of the week. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with some of Loki's picks of the week. Welcome back to Preferred Talk-Ons. Thanks for waiting. Even though when you're listening to it, there's no break. I just want to...
No, they have zero wait.
I know.
It just goes automatic.
I want to thank them for waiting. I would like to be thanked for waiting, so I'm going to thank them. Anyway, we're talking bets. We're talking... that's about it,
pets.
I guess. Bets and pets.
Bets and pets.
Oh, that's good stuff.
I got you.
Oh, man. That might have to be a segment now.
That's why I'm back.
Bets and pets.
Why I'm back.
That segment's brought to you by Prince Family Paper.
I was going to do that today. I have it pulled up and everything. Actually, today, I'll tell you. You start. I'll tell you what we're sponsored by. Today, we're actually sponsored by WB Jones Heating and Air. If you're having heating or air conditioning problems, especially this winter, make sure you head out, give WB Jones a call. He'll take care of you. WB Jones Heating and Air is sponsoring our show today. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's great stuff. This was a tough week. I finished at 51%, but there were four bad beats that I had. One was Marshall was a 15-point favorite. They won by 14. One was Missouri by 11.5, and they won by 11. One was Penn State by 4.5. I picked Iowa to cover 4.5, and they lost by 5. And then USC Notre Dame was a 57.5 total. I took the over, and they ended at 57. And then last but not least, Florida LSU was a 13.5 point game. I took Florida to cover, and they lost by 14. Tough. I also didn't do any locks this week. Didn't have the time.
I'll go over my locks real quick. I would have went over if it wasn't for two games, like basically last second place.
Oh, those are the best.
I accidentally took West Virginia plus 10 twice.
What? How did you accidentally?
No, it just showed up on my thing, and I didn't think it went through, so I clicked it again. So I ended up betting it twice. Ross told me to take that. He's like, yeah, for sure, take West Virginia plus 10. They did not cover. I took Nebraska to win outright. That didn't happen. I took the money line on them.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
I wasn't sold on Minnesota, so I was like, you know what? This is the game.
Boy.
But you were sold on Nebraska.
I wasn't necessarily sold on Nebraska either.
I ask you, what about Nebraska made you think that would be a good bet? Silence is speaking volumes.
I don't know. At the time, I was like, you know, Nebraska just got their ass kicked again. You know, maybe they'll come out ready to play. I don't think Minnesota is as good as what their record states.
I agree.
States.
Yeah. I'm just messing with you.
No, you're right.
I might have done the exact same thing.
Well, it was more of like, I bet a certain amount. I would have won a lot more. That's another reason I did it too.
I think my thing is,
because
Nebraska just can't be this bad week in, week out. But they are.
Yeah. Texas Tech and Baylor did not cover.
The BUTT game?
Wait, did that go into overtime?
Yeah, it did.
They did cover it because they went into overtime. And that's the only reason it covered. Arizona State plus one covered in the last second. And then I really thought Iowa plus 3.5 at home at night against Penn State would cover.
The Kinnick version of Iowa usually is a lock. But
That didn't happen. So,
unfortunately,
not a great week.
On the plus side, the Big Ten West is shaping up to be as weird as we had hoped.
Yeah.
Other than Wisconsin being the clear runaway favorite. But other than that.
After last week. I know I just said I don't think Nebraska's as good as – or not Nebraska, Minnesota's as good as their record. They're undefeated. Can't really count them out yet.
I mean, that's true.
I mean, we can, but – because they're not going to beat Wisconsin.
We don't get Minnesota-Wisconsin until the very last week of the season.
Oh, what if they're both undefeated going into that? Wisconsin won't be there. They're going to lose to Ohio State this week, but
– I'm not so sure anymore.
Or next week. I'm sorry. They have a bye this week.
Yeah.
Ohio State plays Northwestern this week.
Okay. Yeah, I was thrown off. Let's go to Minnesota's schedule real quick. They have next 2 weeks at Rutgers, host Maryland.
Two wins.
Bye week.
Okay.
Penn State.
Home?
Yes.
I don't think it's going to matter, but.
That might be their first loss.
Yep.
Then they have to visit Kinnick.
That's a loss.
And then they have to go to Northwestern.
Who knows at that point?
Northwestern always gets better near the end of the year.
Yep.
And then Wisconsin.
You know, Wisconsin is playing Illinois this weekend, right?
Yeah, he corrected himself.
No, I said they had a bye.
Yeah.
I corrected myself with Ohio State. I thought Wisconsin had a bye this
week. Oh, well, it's Illinois. It's basically a bye.
I know. It's going to be amazing because
Jonathan Taylor might score 60 points in fantasy.
In that defense.
If Illinois allowed Michigan to rush for 9 yards a carry, imagine what Jonathan Taylor's going to do.
Ooh, that defense.
And then Michigan just stopped doing that in the second half. Got complacent.
We're not a Michigan podcast, Josh.
We're just talking about games in general.
Just talking Big Ten.
Just talking Big Ten. Just
guys talking Big Ten.
There weren't any other big games or anything.
No, not really.
Not really.
Well, let's look ahead to this week a little bit while we do our pets and bets. Unfortunately, not a lot. Again, not a lot of big games. There's also something extremely sticky on my notebook, and it's gross.
You're welcome.
That's disgusting.
Oh, man.
All right, here's the games I want Loki to do. You guys can – I want him to do Oregon, Washington.
I was going to have him do that one.
That's a – Oregon is a three-point – or, sorry, Washington is a three-point dog at home. Tennessee, Alabama won't be that close.
Can you
not
say three-point dog, please?
Sorry. Three-point.
Loki's a dog, and it's kind of
– Yeah, it's kind of offensive.
It's a little
okay,
bit
then I'll
of an
say
offensive.
2019.
Oregon is a three-point favorite.
There you go.
Let's see. Boise State, BYU won't be close. You want to do North Carolina, Virginia Tech?
Yeah.
Okay.
You give me the lines.
I've got to find another game. How many are we doing total?
Three.
Three total?
Yeah, okay, we got perfect. Three. I got four treats.
All right. You want to explain how you're going to do this?
I am going to put this game. You can record it if you want. Put it on Twitter. People like dogs.
That's true. Dogs. I thought you were to say record. I'm like, Josh, we are recording.
No, not yet.
We've been recording the last 35
right
minutes.
All right, Loki sees the treats now. So I'm just going to put one treat in each hand. One is going to represent one team and the spread favoring them. The other is going to represent that team and the spread favoring them. And Loki's going to choose. And these are guaranteed to be winners.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
You have the Loki
guaranteed.
Loki is never wrong.
Loki's never wrong. So let's do first pick is Oregon, Washington. Oregon is a 3-point favorite. This is at Washington.
Okay. Left hand is Oregon. Right hand is Washington. He's already looking. Okay. I got to mix them up.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Where's he going? Oh, he's going Oregon.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
He went Oregon.
Oh, boy. All right.
Oh, Christ.
Who's the other game we did?
Virginia Tech, North Carolina was the next one.
North Carolina, Virginia Tech. The Heels are a 3.5-point favorite on the road.
When was the last time North Carolina has been a favorite against Virginia Tech?
Right. This is a home game for the Hokies in Blacksburg.
What's the line?
3.5 points.
Favoring North Carolina?
Correct.
Okay. North Carolina be left, Virginia Tech right. Okay, Loki, you got that? Don't lay down. Sit up. Sit. Okay. Where are you going?
Oh.
He's going Virginia Tech.
Oh, man. He likes that home team.
All right.
All right. Then I found another good line. This is Hawaii versus Air Force.
Okay.
Air Force is a 3-point favorite in Honolulu.
Wow. Okay. Well, Air Force will be on the left. Hawaii right. You got that?
He's already pointing.
He's already pointing towards Air Force. But let's.
That's good. Loki supports the troops.
Yep. Air Force.
Good boy.
No hesitation.
Well, Loki's not going to pick not the troops.
No. No. There you go. You can just have that one.
Look, you did a good job. You're a good boy.
It's all gone.
You can tell a dog is good when he doesn't. You can't hear him in the background of a podcast.
Yeah, Loki's very quiet.
That's good.
Yeah.
Couple other news bits. This came out like relatively recently. Alabama freshman has been arrested for a bomb threat to Tiger Stadium. Because his friend was about to lose a bet.
That's a dedicated friend.
Would you call in a bomb threat to cover one of your friends?
It makes you wonder.
I would absolutely.
How much
not.
Money did he have on that game?
I mean, it was SEC, so it just does mean more.
That's true.
When you're going to jail for a bet.
No, I would not. I would not do that.
Godly. That's just forever. It's going to be on your record. Forever. So every time you get on the plane, they're going to be like, are you this man? Did you threaten? Like, you're going to search every time.
Mm-hmm.
Every single flight.
Yeah, that's a very short-sighted decision there, fella. But Wayne Gretzky has endorsed Edmonton native Chuba Hubbard for the Heisman. Big surprise. That's about it. I'm just scrolling through reddit.com/r/CFB to see if there's anything notable. It's been a weird couple weeks because I haven't been able to watch as much football as I want.
Well, buckle in, Bill. It's the offseason.
It's the offseason.
You get to watch all the football you want.
Oh, and Kosi Perry is starting for Miami now. So if you have Jaron Williams as your starting quarterback, you might want to put him on the bench.
Bench him.
Bench him.
All right, well, Anything else?
Let's make like a sprained ankle and wrap it up.
Oh, be back
boy. Bill
Friday for the preview, though.
Where
That'll
can
be
people
good.
Find us?
You can look at us on not. Why would you? Why would I say look at us?
What do you want people to do, Bill?
I want you to follow us and interact with us on Twitter at @PTO_podcast. You can also email us at theptopodcast@gmail.com. We're always accessible. Always down to talk college football. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Bye-bye.